Hello, Liam. Hello, Steph.
Hi, Mike.
Hey.
How are you?
Doing pretty good.
It's good to see you guys again.
Nice to see you.
I'm reading a book.
You're reading a book?
I got here and there's a book on the desk and it's called Hello Web App.
Uh-huh.
Learn How to Build a Web App.
Cool.
And there's a second book.
Okay.
Hello Web App.
Very original
Intermediate
name.
Concepts. and they're both written by Tracy Osborne. Does anybody know Tracy Osborne?
Never heard of her. No.
No.
Mm-mm. Nope.
I wish she was here to talk about these.
Wouldn't that be something?
There she is.
Yeah. Hi. I think there is a Tracy here.
You guys totally didn't follow on the bit.
I thought I was following.
Yeah, I thought I was following the bit.
All right.
I'm unclear what the bit was exactly.
Well, you know, this is why
it's the intro.
Our whole Abbott and Costello thing just isn't working, Liam.
Am I Abbott or Costello?
I don't know. Well, that's the first problem. Is we have no idea which one of us is which. We're short, one tall, skinny guy.
Yeah, we're out of those. We're fresh out.
Hello, Tracy.
Hi.
Thank you for coming on our show.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for writing these books, too.
Yeah. They're super fun.
Tell us a little bit about these books.
Yeah.
Why am I going to read this?
Yeah. My background's in design and I have a graphic design degree and I thought I hated programming because I originally went in for computer science and that was awful. So I switched my degree to art and said I'd never go into program again. And I joined a company and I was their web designer. And then after about 4.5 years of this company, I met my future husband, who's a programmer, and he started a startup and I watched him build the startup and program. And I was like, oh, I could do that. But as a designer, I thought that I had to find a co-founder or, you know, that's how you're supposed to do it. I was non-technical, so I had to go find a co-founder. And that was an awful process, and that's a much longer story. Eventually, I was like, well, crap, I need to learn how to program. So I started teaching myself programming slowly. I kind of got over my fear of programming from when I was in school. And as I was learning how to program, this is specifically in Python and Django, I would figure it out. And I'm like, why the hell was it taught that way? So like 4 years of teaching myself Python and Django and building this startup and learning how to be a programmer, it was still like I looked at the ecosystem of tutorials out there and no one was teaching in the way I thought it should be taught. And so at one point I was like, well, screw it. I'm just going to write the books I wish existed when I was learning.
Mm-hmm. And so you did.
Yeah. And I applied to some publishers and got a couple acceptances, but then I decided that, you know, my whole career has been teaching myself how to do stuff. So like I'm trained in design, but I taught myself how to program. And eventually I was like, you know what? I can just teach myself how to do self-publishing. And I hadn't done editorial design so long. So I was like, I'll just do that. And then I ended up doing a Kickstarter campaign for the books. And they released last year. And it's been super fun ever since then. And it's been really cool to have a book that I can take to podcasts like this and throw them in people's faces and be like, hey, take a look at my book.
And you self-published this.
Yeah. Yeah. I looked at the cost benefit after looking at publishers, and I didn't apply to O'Reilly, but I applied for like a Book Apart with my idea. But smaller publishers were the ones that accepted me, and but it was like 5% royalties or something like that. And I, mm-hmm. I really know how to do the editorial design myself, and I can do a Kickstarter campaign to essentially build myself in advance for the books.
Uh-huh.
So I just and keep 100% of the royalties. So it was kind of like a win-win situation, other than the whole fact of like spending all the time writing and publishing, doing the book myself and doing all the design. It was actually ended up with my Kickstarter campaign ended up being a year late because at first I was like, well, of course I can do a book in like a couple months, of course, which is hogwash and completely ridiculous now. So the first book I told people the Kickstarter like, oh, it'll be out this summer. It didn't come out till the next year. Then I did my second book, and I did a Kickstarter for that. And that one, I actually knew what I was doing, so I had my estimates right.
So you did both of these through Kickstarters.
Yeah.
And that's how you built yourself in advance.
Mm-hmm.
And then you self-published them. And where do I buy one?
HelloWebApp.com.
HelloWebApp.com.
Yeah. So, I mean, the second book is also called Hello Web App. That's been a little confusing because the second book is called Hello Web App Intermediate Concepts. So it builds upon the first book. Or you can, you know, if you already know a little bit about Django programming, you can buy just the second book.
And what is this going to run me? Like 50 bucks? This looks like about 50 bucks worth of book.
The ebooks are $14.95, but then I did some screencasts so people can pay, I think it's like $80 for the full screencast package where I did this all myself too, which was, again, super fun. Walked through every chapter of the book, you know, on these videos. And then I have the awesome looking paperback book, which is a different package, which, you know, wish I can show it in voice form, but they turned out pretty pretty.
Well, I'm holding one right now.
It's too bad that this is an audio format,
yeah,
because
exactly.
These are visually lovely. Would you can I have one of those and I can do a
No, because I'm enjoying holding them both.
Oh, come on, don't hug the books.
Yeah. My favorite part is the spot gloss on the cover.
Two hands, two books, Liam.
Last minute decision.
I'm going to attempt to convey the physical beauty of these books using only the medium of sound. So this is the sound. You might need to turn this up, Seven. This is the sound of rubbing the gloss on the cover lightly. This is the sound of flipping through the wonderful pages.
Oh.
It produces a slight breeze, which is also good. In the coming months, in the coming summer months, you may wish to have a book that can both teach you something and keep you cool at the same time. So... From a purely physical, visual standpoint, I highly recommend these books.
Please tune in next week when Liam rings out a sponge on the air.
Ooh, I'll do that.
Yeah.
Sounds.
I'm actually really excited to read these because I have attempted to learn Django before.
What?
Being the kind of person who really liked Python, it's just so, like, I just don't get it.
The tutorials are awful. I mean, okay, there's some good tutorials out there. I shouldn't say that because someone in the Django world might be like, what? But that's the whole reason why I wrote these books is that I in terms of the way I teach, and how it's different than existing tutorials. These are specifically people who don't have any existing programming knowledge. So I don't like throw into like, oh, we're doing a model view controller and let's talk about regex. And Steph and I were talking earlier about my regex part in the books, because you have to do a little bit of regex for the setting up your URLs and how the things are mapped in your site. And that sounds really complicated. So I'm just like, you know what? Here's a template that you just copy and paste. And don't worry about regex. You can kind of figure out what you need to change for these URLs. You don't need to know what regex is. You just need to know what it looks like in order to get your website to work. So I kind of gloss over a lot of things, which a lot of, you know, big programmers don't really agree with. Like, they want to teach you all the things about programming and what all these little pieces are. And my philosophy is that that can come afterwards. Like, you can just learn how to get a web app up and just see it as a website. And that's the other thing I do differently. I do templates, website stuff first instead of, like, going to command line and be like, oh, look, it works. And it's in the command line. That doesn't feel like it works. This is actually website-based. Like, that's why write your view. And then you go into command line, you run it, and it just text. It's not a website. It never felt real to me. Yeah. So this is for people who are visual, people who, you know, just gloss over those crazy programming concepts and that you can learn in like step two or step three and just get a web app up.
What's people who are visual? Like people you can see?
Well, like there's some programmers out there who are just very comfortable like doing everything via text. And just as, you know, the design background, it just really wanted I wanted to see the website I was building and see like how people would be using the website and how they would use it.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's like really alienating on a lot of tutorials where it's like, okay, now on command line, you have a success message. Like,
yeah,
a lot of people are scared of command line. What if I don't want
exactly.
to be in there?
And that's like hard. It's admittedly the hardest part of the book is step one is like get Python installed on your computer, which is still a mess. It's still really hard to do, especially if you're on Windows. And I run workshops. I'm running a workshop this weekend. And my nightmare is when people walk in with a Windows computer and they're like, let's get started. And I have 4 hours. So I just started using VMs and virtual machines for VirtualBox for that. Because like the first part of installing things, it's not like HTML where you can just get it working in your browser. You have to go through this complicated command line thing and there's no like pretty GUI on it. So it looks really complicated and scary. And I did this for a friend and she's like, are you breaking my computer? I'm like, no, this is totally normal. This is how you install Python. And then the second hardest part is deployment, which is also awful. But the middle part, if you can get over installation and then start building your web app, is actually way easier than I think a lot of people realize.
So let's say that I'm going to help you sell some books here. Let's say that I am, I call myself a designer.
You do.
I design things for the web. What will I be able to do after I read this book that I can't do now?
So I'm going to ignore JavaScript frameworks just for a moment. Okay. Because React and Ember, and I know that there's this whole like JavaScript area where you can start working with databases and whatnot. So ignoring those, and I find JavaScript really hard to do personally. I love Python. But in terms of HTML and CSS, Hello Web App, the Django framework that Hello Web App uses, comes with authentication, a login, database type stuff. In the book, I walk you through creating what I call a collection of things. And a lot of apps out there, like Twitter is a collection of tweets or like small snippets of text.
It's a garbage fire.
But ignoring that.
That's a countdown.
It's a collection of garbage pieces.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Collection of garbage. Instagram, collection
of photos. Turds on fire.
Yeah. Facebook used to be a collection of personal data before they did the whole newsfeed thing. Ugh. So essentially, I walk through this collection of things. It's really general, and you can update it to something that matches that scheme. So build a Twitter clone. My first programming project was building a directory of wedding invitation designers. So that's just a collection of people or a collection of profiles.
Okay.
So I try to be like, I found it more powerful for me learning programming to build a project that mattered to me rather than, say, building yet another to-do list or something else that, you know, these programming tutorials all have, like, a specific topic. So mine's a little weird because I have to say, like, here's this really general. You're building a thing, which is complicated to explain in a tutorial, but the idea is that people can update it to match to whatever web app they want to build that happens to match this collection of things format.
Okay.
So have you gotten any feedback from the community and the people who kickstarted the project?
Everyone's been really great. And I'm happy to say I still have 5 stars on Amazon, which was kind of scary. Nice. And a lot of people go on Amazon there and they look at those reviews. And one of my, I have one poor review. And they say that the book was, I think, too small, but the paper is luxurious.
Oh.
Which is another thing we can't really go over there. I'm like, oh, thank you, person, for giving me 3 stars. But at least, you know, probably got those 3 stars for the quality of my paper.
Yeah. So what do they mean by too small? Like form factor?
Yeah, because the book is so – as a self-publisher, I had to sell on Amazon. Amazon takes 55%.
So. Oh, shit, really?
Damn.
Fuck.
Holy
it's
crap.
Ridiculous.
55%?
Yeah. So I had to have the price on Amazon high enough. And this is what dictated all of my prices, actually, was just be, you know, my book on Amazon, the paperback book, is $19.95. And that's just so I would have a reasonable amount of money coming back to me for all the effort I did.
Yeah.
And then ergo everything else, the stuff I sell to my own website or through different platforms are all based on this $20 on Amazon, this price. But for a $20 book, a lot of people look at $20 books and they think, you know, some big textbook, because those textbooks are by huge publishers with a lot of, you know, capital and all that. But I'm not like that. So my book for $20, that's been the one critique, is that it's too small.
Oh, come on.
Right?
It's a half sheet. I don't see that as too small. It's normal book size.
But like, this is only like 1% of the feedback. Everyone else has been wonderful. I just like think it's so funny that one person was like, it's too small, but at least it has nice paper.
But you know how I look at that? What are you learning for $20?
I mean, for me.
And what do you stand to make off of those new skills that you're learning?
So my startup is not a whole success, but my startup is basically, this is like, what you're building in this is my first step to building my startup.
Uh-huh.
So it's not, in terms of a funded startup, it's not that much money. But in terms of like absolute numbers, I've made about $60,000 off of my startup over the last few years. And that's amazing to me. Like I built a web app that's bringing in money from people around the world. And right now it's making $20,000 per year.
So let's talk about your startup. What do you do?
My startup is called Wedding Lovely.
Okay. I want to talk about your 25-pound cat.
Wait, what?
Yeah, it's mentioned right here.
All right, I'm excited
dedication
about
page.
I'm excited about that part too.
Wesley.
Yeah.
The 25-pound biggest, baddest, most lovable cat.
It's all true.
All right, but
Steph's met him.
Who,
gigantic.
So, wait a minute.
Yeah.
We're going startup.
Yeah.
And then Wesley.
Cats. I understand.
Okay.
So I mentioned that first web app I ever built was a directory of wedding invitation designers. I just wanted to teach myself Python and Django. So I built an MVP in about 6 weeks. And I happened to be going through New York at the time. And so I, not expecting anything, I had emailed Tina Roth Eisenberg, Swiss Miss. And I'm like, you're amazing. I love you. Can I take you to lunch? And she's like, okay. And I've also done this with Jeffrey Zeldman. And it's amazing what you can do by just sending an email and be like, you're amazing. Can I take you to lunch?
Jeffrey will go to lunch with anybody.
Yeah.
That's true.
But
it was, I actually got on his podcast a long time ago, the Big Web Show. This is like 7 years ago. But yeah, same visit was Jeffrey, but then I also met with Tina.
Was he wearing clogs when you had lunch together?
Probably. It was a long time ago.
Crocs. I'm sorry. He's been wearing Crocs a lot lately.
I met him in his office. We went to lunch. And that's all I remember because it's so long ago. Anyway, so Tina, focus.
Yes.
We went to lunch with Tina,
Swiss Miss Tina.
Yeah. And at the end, she's like, what are you working on? And I wasn't planning on pitching or anything like that. But I was like, oh, yeah, I just built this little web app to wedding invitation designers. I just launched it, I think, 5 days beforehand. There was maybe 10 designers on there. So the web app essentially was useless because there's only 10 designers on there.
Okay.
But I launched it and was hoping more people would show up. And I was like, oh yeah, I built this. And she's like, that's cool. So I left. And then I was like, get on a plane to go to Rome. I was going to be in Europe for 3 months. And then my phone blew up because she Swiss missed it. And she has
Swiss missed it. That's a verb now.
Yeah, it is. And that's, I mean, she has so many people, designers that follow her, that the website started taking off. And incidentally, that next morning, I had all my stuff stolen in Rome. And so I had to deal with, like, my web app was getting big and people wanted to join it. And yet I had my laptop and my passport and everything was just stolen. So I had some of these emails be like, I'm sorry. Thank you.
See, this is why I don't want to go to Rome.
Also, could I just point out that this is a fascinating juxtaposition of you experiencing all this like virtual success while all your physical stuff is gone?
It was awful.
You should tell the story of how your stuff got stolen though. Well, like that has burned into my memory.
Oh, you know this. Okay.
I know this story.
Yeah, I even know this story.
Well, it's funny because I didn't know this was a thing, but it's a thing that people will throw this disgusting goo on you with the idea that you then one person runs up with a napkin to distract you. And as you're distracted and you're covered in this disgusting goo, and I had a backpack on me that and it's a multi-person operation, of course, that, you know, you want to take your jacket off. And I had my backpack on, put it down. The guy distracted me right moment. And then just everything disappeared. And supposedly he ran out and there was a person with a scooter that was immediately scootered off with my stuff. And it was like really smoothly done.
Like, it's like a Bond movie.
Yeah. And they hit the jackpot. And this is my fault. And I've learned so much about traveling since then. But my backpack had a new MacBook Pro, my iPhone, an iPad, a Kindle. Like it probably opened it up and it was like Pulp Fiction, the glowing box.
Oh,
it was like,
did we ever find out what was in that?
Marcellus Wallace's soul.
Really?
By word of God, yes.
Okay.
I didn't know that. You just solved a mystery for me.
Yep. Although physically there was a light bulb that activated.
Yeah.
Opened it up. Yes.
Yeah. So yeah, all my stuff was stolen, but I was there for 3 weeks and actually everything worked out okay because there was a consulate there, the embassy. I got a new passport. I have friends sent me a laptop and I started working with all these new wonderful designers that jumped on my site and they were all super understanding because I was just really honest. I'm like, by the way, I just went to a new country and all of my stuff was stolen. I will approve your accounts because I had to do this whole review process in a moment.
That's my nightmare.
Yeah, that's really scary.
It's like, yeah.
If someone fake pukes on you, you keep walking.
It was.
You just wear it
out.
Always
keep walking. Always.
It was disgusting.
This may be a weird question, but do you have any idea of what the goo is composed of? What sort of goo should you watch out for?
We looked at it afterwards once we've like everything calmed down. And it was like flour and water, but it had something in it that made it chunky. Not to make you sound really gross. But afterwards we realized it was just like food products that was mixed together to make a disgusting concoction.
If any of our listeners,
from books, like beautiful book sounds, to talking about.
Oh, have you never heard this podcast?
It's very visceral.
If any of our listeners out there, because we're international.
Yes.
If we have anybody out there in Rome, we would love to know what this goo is made of.
Yeah. It's worldwide. After the words, I looked at typical scams around the world. And then I realized that this is a thing. And I wish I knew that beforehand. That's why I like telling a story. So if anyone else is in a foreign country and they look over and they have goo on them, they'd be like, oh, this is a scam, rather than me. I was like, oh, a baby threw up on me.
I just keep walking. Yeah. Keep walking.
Exactly. I should have found a corner and hid myself and at everybody. But yeah, it's all over the world. This happens in South America and Europe. And it's just, it's apparently a worldwide thing, which is really crazy.
Huh.
Worldwide goo.
I think I've heard of it. People do ketchup, like anything that, and it's like insult to injury too. Cause then my jacket was covered in this stuff.
Yeah.
It was rude. Yeah. It was the first day of my 2 month vacation in Europe. Not vacation. It was like workation, but like got off on the right step.
Oh really? Yeah.
Anyways, my virtual success was doing awesome. And then the site just started growing and I decided to take that directory of annotation designers. And I basically cloned the project. I was not a good programmer at the time, but I was like, and I think that's fine because I was building this company. So I just basically cloned this project. And I did it a directory of wedding planners. And then I cloned that project and I did a directory of photographers. And eventually I had five. And if I wanted to like say update the contact form on these pages, I would have to copy paste my code in between these five projects, which is not recommended.
No.
But the company was running and people were joining it. And I eventually got into 500 startups and I decided to make it a full-on funded company. And long story short, that didn't work out. And I eventually moved back to just being me. And I've just been running this collection of websites ever since then.
So if I'm looking for a wedding photographer and somebody to do a wedding invitation, I go to you.
Mm-hmm.
I go to your site.
Yeah.
Which is?
WeddingLovely.com.
WeddingLovely.com.
So why weddings? Why wedding vendors?
It all started because of the invitation designers. Because people who design invitations, a lot of people are stay-at-home moms or someone working from home or doing it as a side project.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people who are just working on design. And I was thinking, like, how can I support these people? And not to mention that wedding invitations are gorgeous. And they're the piece of printed design that's always going to stay printed. Like there's online invitations, but they're not going to take over. There's always going to be the printed wedding invitation design. So it's less about weddings. And I honestly, today is actually my wedding anniversary, my 2 year wedding anniversary.
Oh, hey,
congratulations.
Yay. All right.
But like 2 years ago, I eloped because in terms of weddings, I much rather work with small businesses. I'm not in it for weddings. It's small businesses. So I went to Las Vegas and we went to Little White Wedding Chapel.
Hey, yeah. I went there once.
Yep. So that's where I was married. So yeah, weddings itself, it's just a fun niche to be in. But I've never been actually a huge weddings like person. It's more about the niche, the small businesses and the design.
Nice.
Also, wedding scale, because you get married multiple times. You only die once.
So that's true.
You don't want to get into the funeral announcement business because very little repeat customers.
Very little. It's hard to be really enthusiastic designing.
Let's talk about Wesley. How did Wesley get up to 25 pounds? Oh my God, that
I
sounds
think he's
unhealthy.
Part Maine Coon. I'm pretty sure he's not totally fat.
Yeah. Those are big cats.
Yeah, he can, like the height of a typical counter in the kitchen, he can peek over, like, he can look over the counter at me as I'm cooking, which is hilariously awesome because there's this little cat eyes staring at me.
That's a long-ass cat.
He's huge. Yeah.
I had a Maine Coon in college. They're big cats.
Mm-hmm. I did too. He was real nervous. He was a very nervous, huge cat.
Nervous.
He was a very nervous cat. He was always worried about something.
Aw.
His name was Chad.
Aw, Chad.
He lives in Oakland now.
I love people names on cats. Like, it's the greatest.
Like Kevin? Best.
Like Kevin.
Kevin the dog.
Kevin.
That's awesome.
Oh, does that actually exist? That's a great name.
Yeah, you should follow
on
Instagram.
Kevin.
Kevin the dog.
I admittedly named Wesley because of Princess Bride.
Nice.
He's heavy mind. A lot of people were like, Wesley for a cat? I'm like, yes.
I appreciate that.
This cat
that.
Is a Wesley. He's my dread pirate.
So you dedicated your book to Wesley, the 25-pound partial Maine Coon
cat. I had
to.
He's my family. I know that sounds like crazy cat lady type thing. I have my husband in there too. So it's just not just the cat.
Oh, that's true.
Dedicate the book solely to my cat. That'd be kind of amazing. I kind of wish I did that.
I'm reading the other dedication and there is a mention of a supposed husband. But there's also the quick high five to cat and dog. Who's the dog?
Unfortunately, the dog has since passed away, but she was an amazing...
Is this Molly?
Yes. Yeah, she's an Australian, like an Australian Shepherd mix, and she was amazing. So we had a few really awesome years of her. She was my grandparents' dog, and my grandparents moved to assisted living, and a neighbor took over the said they're going to adopt the dog. And then I found out that neighbor decided, they don't want to adopt the dog anymore and took her to a shelter.
Oh my God.
Molly became mine because that was rude. And I want to go find that person and kick them in the shins. But maybe hug them because then the dog was mine.
Yeah.
I don't understand people who are mean to dogs. I almost got in a fight this weekend. Somebody was being mean to a dog.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's a good, that's a noble fight.
Are you going to elaborate?
No.
Yeah.
No, I'm just going to leave it there.
Oh.
Huh. Sometimes we do that. We just allude to things and then we
allude it. Yeah. And, you know, and we'll come back to it like four episodes from now. Because I want to reward the loyal listeners who are like, they finally closed that loop.
And the binge listeners.
Yeah, the binge listeners.
And the repeat listeners. Yeah,
this is a good marketing tactic.
That's how we do.
Oh, yeah, we're great at marketing. Because you definitely want to listen about four of these in a row.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
We're going to record two in a row.
Yep.
Doing a bang today.
Yep.
Okay.
I'm going to be at the window staring at your next one.
That's good.
Okay.
Cool.
That's fine.
Yeah, that's good.
You're totally welcome to do that.
So what's next for you, Tracy?
Yeah.
I'm actually working on a third book. And so these two books are teaching development to designers. The third book is going to be teaching design to developers. I decided I really like this whole writing for beginners thing. So I'm going to keep going on it since it's been working out well for me. And I have my design files already done. So that made the second book so much easier because I just, I wrote the new book and then I popped it into InDesign. Oh. And I was like, woohoo, I'm done. I don't have to worry about the design this time.
So you did everything in here, huh?
Yeah, I did. I mean, other than editing. Actually, the cool thing I want to mention, I thought that I should have hired a professional editor. Yes, of course. But when I was, DIYing everything, I did my Kickstarter for the first book and I was really delayed. So I started popping my chapters of the first book onto Google Docs. And I'm like, I'm so sorry this is delayed. Here's the latest chapter I just wrote. Take a look at it. Uh-huh. And people actually stayed on and did total editing work for me without asking.
That's awesome.
Google Docs.
Wow.
It was amazing. And I was like, there's so many people. And I thank them in the back, but I think it was like 10 people started just going through every chapter that I put up there, put up on Google Docs and let me know, fixing grammar, spelling issues, finding those problems, but also like telling me overall what was confusing, what wasn't confusing. So it's like I did the whole books and then it was community edited, which was super awesome. But the third book, probably it's going to be called Hello Web Design because I'm very creative with my titles.
you got a thing going here.
I do.
Right.
I don't know how
many.
I'm used to the book cover has Hello Web App. I'm not sure how I'm going to fit design into that. And it's kind of stressing me out because it's kind of a long word. Can't really show you via talking. But it's going to be a challenge to do my new cover. But I know it's going to be teal. The first two books are yellow and orange. And I'm like, warm colors for development. And then the design books I write are going to be cool colors.
Well, let me talk you out of teal.
Really?
Yeah.
You don't like teal?
No.
Why?
Why don't you like teal?
I have very strong feelings about teal.
I learned something new about you every day. Please tell us about teal.
It's a bad color.
It's a bad color.
Well, okay.
Color.
There's a lot of different shades of teal. Are you thinking of the same shade that I am?
The universe has provided us with this spectrum of colors, believe that one of them is bad?
Yes.
One of them is a bad color?
Teal is a terrible color.
What's terrible about it?
Who are you to say that teal is a terrible color?
I am a person who gets to have feelings about things. Liam, we've talked about this.
That's
my
true.
Feelings are valid.
Your feelings are real.
You didn't say that you feel like it's terrible. You said it is terrible.
Well, it is. Yes. My feelings are also facts.
Are we going to expand on that now or the next episode?
No, we can go into that now.
I would like to hear about teal.
I just don't care for it.
I have a follow-up question after we're done talking about teal.
Okay.
So tell me more about teal.
Is it too blue, too green?
It's too neither and too both. it's a bad compromise. Blue is a lovely color. Green is a lovely color. You put the two together and you got it shows that you just came out of a room of people who couldn't agree between blue and green.
Maybe it's a good thing I don't have my color chosen. I can figure out.
I'm gonna pick a new color for you.
You can put it in the attributions. Thank you, Mike, for talking me out of teal for some reason.
This is probably gonna happen now. It's so hilarious that this has to happen in my new book.
Go with cyan.
Okay.
Beautiful color. Designers love cyan, by the way.
It's cheap to print.
Very cheap.
Yeah, it's funny because I was telling Steph about this earlier, is that the book you're holding right now, which is the first book, is this lovely butter yellow color.
And it is a lovely color.
I spent ages going over my Pantone swatches and picking out the right one, and I just reprinted them.
I actually want to eat this book. It's so buttery.
It's great, right?
Yeah.
I reprinted it and I made a mistake and the reprints have the wrong color cover and it's all my fault. That's the problem with doing everything yourself is that when something goes wrong, that's totally my fault. So I opened up my new box of books and it's had this horrible, I totally screwed up. It's not as buttery. It's more muddy. Mm. It makes me sad, but you know, no one else will notice. I'm just mentioning it here, but I'm figuring most people won't notice that the new cover is not as nice, but it makes me a little sad.
So that second book is supposed to be a different color, yes?
Yes.
Okay.
I would describe it as a tikka masala.
Oh. Ooh. Keeping that one, because that's one of my favorite foods.
So you've got butter and you've got tikka masala.
I just go through all the Indian butter chicken, tikka masala.
And the design book is going to be cyan.
Or... Yes.
Is there a blue curry?
There's no blue curry. There's no blue food.
What about...
Have we not
Jell-O.
Discussed this?
Jell-O. That's a really good one.
It's fake, though, I guess. Does that really count if it's so artificial?
It's like I had a lot of cocktails in college that were very blue.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, I mean, you could say that sentence with a rainbow, couldn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I was going to say it no matter what.
Blueberries are more purple, aren't they?
They're purple.
They're pretty purple.
It's a lie.
You had a follow-up question.
Oh, right. We're veering further off the rails, but I would like to ask you about purple. How do you feel about purple?
You know,
and I would open that to the rest of the room too.
I'm not a fan of purple.
Okay.
It's a really hard color to design with.
Why?
Really hard.
Prince makes it work.
Prince makes it work. He's kind of owned it.
Yeah, he owns it.
He owns it. And, you know, I applaud him for that. I have a hard time making it work.
Hmm. Oh, wait. I have an argument to your teal thing. Okay. So
we've
don't
settled
like,
purple?
No, I have no strong feelings.
I'm willing to leave purple open for now. Tracy,
so
do you have purple feelings?
My feeling.
Okay. I mean, my husband, I was actually just talking about purple this morning because my husband has a purple plaid shirt, which sounds awful, right?
Yes.
But it's awesome. We were talking about how his shirt actually works, and yet it's purple.
I would really like to see it own it.
I just want to make sure that we understand the nuance of how I feel about these two colors and how they're different.
Okay.
So purple.
Okay.
I have no feelings about purple other than it's hard to make it work.
Gotcha.
So it's almost like I bow down to purple.
Okay. Okay. You have a respect for purple.
I have a respect for purple. It's hard.
You do not have a respect for teal.
Teal sucks.
Because you believe it to be a color invented by committee.
Teal just eats balls.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, so teal is blue and green. It's not too blue. It's not too green. It's too green. It's
nothing.
Too blue.
It's neither of anything.
But green is blue and yellow. Like, green in itself is a derivative of two colors.
Right.
So it's like two derivative? That's multi.
Yeah, it's like, why is green fine? What teal isn't?
Green is fine. Green is beautiful. Green occurs in nature all the time. We're happy when we see green.
Teal occurs in nature.
We are
not in food.
The Carolina Panthers are not nature.
That's the weirdest sentence you've ever said.
I don't consider that teal. I consider that blue.
Are they blue?
They're kind of blue. They're pretty blue.
Carolina Panthers?
Yeah.
That's a sports team.
And a color.
Okay. I'm not familiar with the color.
So teal is the color that all of the leagues went to when they decided that that uniforms were being used by gangs.
What?
Yes. What? This is back in the 90s.
Oh, my God.
Seven will back me up on this.
What is happening?
Nobody was alive then.
Okay.
Everything before 1994 is merely theoretical.
Yeah.
So back when gangs started adopting like NFL uniforms and stuff like that, there were a bunch of expansion teams that came out and the NFL wanted to make sure like they weren't like in the gang apparel business. So all of those teams adopted teal as their color, which shows you that it's an awful color that nobody wants to wear. It's like they said, what's the most unappealing color in the world? And they came up with teal. Great.
This show is about learning.
Yeah, it is.
It is about learning.
I've learned a lot already.
Yep.
So, and speaking of, oh, wait, you go, because you probably have a similar question to I do.
Oh, okay, maybe. You want to say it at the same time?
No.
No.
You go.
I was going to say, like, let's, what are things that developers need to know about design? Like, what are the core things that you want to focus on?
So, like I've mentioned, the other books is that I didn't really like how it was being taught, how development was being taught to designers. I feel the same way about design taught to developers. Because a lot of people, like, again, I have an art degree, and which is, you know, 4 years or 5 years in my case, where we had to go through all the little nitpicky art things, like what's rhythm, and I learned like a whole quarter on color theory, and you like spend this whole time learning.
They didn't teach you that teal was shit?
They did not teach me that.
Well,
no.
Where did
apparently,
you go?
Apparently, same place as Steph. We went to Cal Poly San Luis Obispo.
Okay.
Yeah. So
did you spend like 3 months in Chuck's class making various shades of gray?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then you had to cut them out the most exact square because you're a judge on how well you can cut out these squares and then arrange them so they're perfect.
Mine weren't squares. They were these long strips, like
six inches
long.
I'm thinking of the other ones.
Yeah.
I can't believe they're still teaching this shit.
So you cut it with X-Acto knives on your thick paper, and then you had to line them all up. And this is why they had to be perfect, is because you were making a perfect rectangle that was a perfect gradient with your like 60 gray swatches.
Yes.
Okay, this stuff was useless when I went to school.
And yes. We learned it. Yeah, we learned it too.
Yep.
Wow.
So
public education is so broken.
You go, so there's books that are supposedly like teaching design, and then some books are even more specific, they teach design for developers, and they'll start going over these things. And I think like they'll start talking about the golden ratio, and they'll start talking about rhythm, and they'll like talk about like all the pieces of typography, like what the stem and serifs, all that kind of stuff. And that just really irritates me. It's the same thing as my other books. I was like, you know what? Screw it. I'm just going to write my own book. This book is going to focus on teaching someone who already knows development. You know, anyone who's doing development at some point is going to have to design something for the web, like a widget or a landing page for their app or something, whatever they're building. And what's the fastest way I could teach someone basically how to do something that works? So A, focus on how it's working, not how it's looking. B, cut down on clutter. So kind of make it more basic and easy to understand and take away all those like futzy design principles that keep showing up in every design book I read.
So I'm both thrilled and horrified that you're writing this book. But I hold on. Give me a second.
We are.
You got a second, man.
All right. Because I don't think these are different things. I don't think they should be different things anymore. This design and development thing.
Mm-hmm.
I figured you would. And so I'm thrilled because this sounds like the kind of book that's building that bridge.
Ideally, I'd be selling them as a 3-pack.
Which you know, also has a bearing on the color discussion.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's true.
Which goes well with your tikka masala and butter yellow.
So since we're talking about book covers, I have a little story.
Ooh.
So I've written two books.
I like how they're here, so I can see them.
Who put them in there? I did not bring them in here.
They've been in here for weeks. I don't know.
We just find them places.
I mean, people just bring shit in this room and leave it. So
it's
and
true.
And good things too.
Jesus Christ! Overalls today? Holy crap! See, we closed that loop from like 4 episodes ago.
Yeah, that's been a while.
People have been waiting.
Good. Yeah. Wow. People have been waiting.
No, I was saying your things are good things.
So
then also we get chairs.
So the first book was brown. And then the second book, I wanted to be gold.
Oh.
And they wouldn't let me do it because they knew, and they were correct, that I was going to start referring them to them as the piss and shit collection.
So now one of them is money green.
Yeah.
Mm. Why did you choose brown for the other?
It's very earthy.
It is really
together.
Earthy.
Yeah.
I wanted to do a design book that had a brown cover and no pictures.
Yeah, that's a lot like you.
Yeah. In fact, after we stop recording, I will tell you the name of somebody who said, I'm not about to read a design book with a brown cover and no pictures.
I'm excited to hear about this.
Yeah.
I like that we also allude to things that will not even happen on air. Like when people listening to the show will never hear about this.
Well, because we're about to announce our Kickstarter.
Ooh.
Yes. Nice. The Let's Make Mistakes Kickstarter, where these backstage things are, yes.
You want a back channel?
Back channel. The back channel, like we're just going to record you for 24 hours and that's going to be one of the prizes.
That's, on one hand, I almost want to do that because I want to know what that would be like. I just want to know what I would sound like when I'm not, you know, actively trying to sound a certain way. But I'm also scared that it would be incriminating for like four or five different reasons that I can't even enumerate right now.
And the people who get that prize, you'll know who your true fans are. That would be fascinating.
It's all the people that I'd want to avoid from then on.
Okay, I want a new podcast that is just Liam describing an object without telling users what it is.
Oh, yeah.
And people have to guess what he's describing.
That sounds good.
Okay. All right. All right.
It's getting pretty weird.
That's so weird.
Yeah. It started weird.
It did.
But
start
hey,
weird.
No, actually, we act. So this has been a very useful conversation, and we dropped some knowledge on people.
Yeah.
On a thing that they should go out and buy right away.
I appreciate this, by the way.
They should go to hellowebapp.com.
Check out That's my a pretty website I
mm-hmm.
built.
And they can buy two books right now.
Yes.
And they can buy Hello Web App, Learn How to Build a Web App. That's the first one they should read, yep. Yes?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then once, buy them both at the same time, though, because you're not going to want to wait for that second one to show up. And then you can buy Hello Web App, Intermediate Concepts.
Yeah. Some people were saying, you call advanced concepts, and I decided to make it a little less scary and call it intermediate.
Intermediate. I'd be more willing to pick up something that said intermediate if I had some self-doubt about my skills. Mm-hmm. So that's
I have
good.
No intention of ever writing a book on expert or whatever, because I don't feel that way as a programmer.
Well, I mean, you're just limiting your audience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So here on the cover, it says learn skills you need to create a successful, profitable web app.
Yeah, I have a whole chapter in there about how to integrate, like how to get payments from your customers.
That's awesome.
It's really, really cool. Easy with Stripe because I'm a big fan of Stripe. So that was a really easy chapter to write, but cool. Some people find it intimidating.
Can I ask a nerdy question?
No. Boy.
Thanks, Mike.
I don't know. Can you?
Bet I can. I feel like the teal of people right now. Why Django?
So Python, I think, is awesome. And Python, I feel, is a very designy programming language.
Please
go on. It's all very white space. Like, you have to format the right way. They have a whole pet thing to make sure that everything is formatted beautifully. And just looked nice to me this sounds really random, but it looked nice to me as a programming language. not to mention that the person I'm closest to, my husband, is also a Python programmer. Mm. So when I'm like, I need to learn programming, had a big resource with me. But he doesn't know Django. And there's a lot of different Python frameworks out there. Django is the easiest for beginners. It has a ton of things built in. There's a lot of quote-unquote magic that experienced programmers don't like because it just, again, glosses over what's going on in, you know, behind the scenes. I think that's great for beginners. So that's why I chose Django over, say, Flask, which is the other big framework that's out there. But Flask, I think, is kind of complicated.
I do appreciate the idea of building on things that will do stuff for you about getting up and running quickly. And like, there's already a service that will take money for you.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, you might as well take as many shortcuts as possible. If you want to build a web app, you know, don't torture yourself trying to build an authentication system right from scratch and having to figure out how to like store your passwords and make sure they're encrypted. Like, that's horrible. No one could do that. But there's things like Django that just does it for you.
There was a time when everybody who owned a car also knew how to fix their car.
Yeah. This is the Tesla of programming.
Yes. And that time is long gone. And I think there was also a time when everybody who had a website knew how to fix that website, knew how to code that website. And I think that time is also passing too. And I think the fact that there are tools out there that manage all of these routine functions are great. Mm-hmm. And the more people who can build things, the more people who can get online and try stuff, the more we open up a variety of different voices and a diversity of different voices. And I think that's fantastic.
Yeah. And as web designers, I find, you know, a lot of web designers are on the web already and they're looking, they're seeing what doesn't exist and they have ideas for things they want to build. And I meet so many designers who think they have to go find a programmer to build it for them. And I'm like, no, you can do it. Like, that's what I did. And I just like, you know, it's great. I'm going to do it myself. And you just don't realize how easy it can be to build these things on your own.
Yeah. And this frees programmers up to solve really, really big, horrible problems.
True.
Which is where those programmers should be.
Yes.
I mean, I get, as a designer, people ask me all the time, like, aren't you like annoyed at things like Squarespace that design your own site where people just jump in and design a site? I'm like, no, I think it's great that there are places like that where people can go mm-hmm. get a website. That's freeing designers up to solve things that actually really need to be solved. Those problems have been solved.
Mm-hmm. It also means that if you don't need to have a depth of knowledge into knowing how a server works and knowing how to like run authentication and all that kind of stuff, you can open yourself up to a breadth of knowledge, which is mm-hmm. also why I think it's neat that you're expanding into teaching this in the other direction.
Yeah.
Because I think the more kinds of things you know, the more useful you can be.
I talked about running my startup. I'm actually in the process of searching for a full-time job, which is a little, the startup, I make money off of it, but it's never been something to support me full-time. So after 6 years, I'm basically hiring a virtual assistant to take over all of my day-to-day duties, which is, long story, but it was way easier than I thought it was going to be. Like, I should have hired someone earlier because this was totally easy. And then I'm finding a real job. That said, all of my skills, I've been a developer, a designer, I'm marketing, sales, everything for the startup for so long that my depth of knowledge is I have a lot of knowledge, little knowledge in a lot of things, but no depth, which has made searching for a job actually really hard because I don't fit anywhere. And I actually just got an email this morning from someone saying that they didn't have a position for me because they didn't know where I would go at their company. And I'm like, well, it should be obvious that I am really good at learning. So wherever I go, I will figure it out. But I just did not fit the mold of what they had.
I love hiring people like that.
Yeah.
We're like, what, 12?
12 people
or something like that.
I don't want to hire anybody who just says, I only do this thing.
Yeah. And I love learning. So like jumping into a position where I don't know anything actually is amazing. I was looking for a lot of positions that do JavaScript frameworks because I have no experience in React or anything like that. Since starting my startup, my front-end development skills have stayed the same since 6 years ago because there's no way I have time to like learn a new JavaScript framework. So I just spoke at Fluent a couple weeks ago and it's all about JavaScript frameworks and I'm on stage and I have to admit I didn't admit on stage, but really I have no idea what anyone was talking about there. It's ridiculous. But I hopefully will learn now that I'm looking for a new job.
I go to design conferences. I have no idea what other people are talking about.
It's the problem with like, I love learning all the bits about building a website there nowadays, like how broad it is in terms of like doing development and design and all this kind of stuff. But it's like, it's amazing how much stuff is out there and there's no way I would ever know everything that's going on.
Yeah. And there's just so much competing as well. It's hard to commit to one because like, people feel so strongly. They're like, React is the new hotness.
Yeah. I know like a couple of years ago, I was on a panel and someone was teaching something about Backbone. Apparently, Backbone is not the thing anymore. Like, no one uses Backbone anymore. And I mean, maybe it's a good thing that, whenever this was a thing, I didn't take the time to learn it because, hey, now I can figure out what's the new thing that's now. Was it React? React. Everyone loves React. Yeah. I just learned that.
But like 2 years ago, everyone loved Angular.
Yeah.
And everyone had to learn Angular.
So maybe I just won't learn anything and I'll just wait.
So you mentioned you spoke at Fluent. Are there other places we could see you speak?
I'm looking for a job that allowed me to continue speaking because I've had a lot of fun speaking at conferences. Fluent was actually my first keynote. That was really fun.
Nice. Congratulations.
Yeah, let's do it again.
Yay. I'll clap for myself. I'm speaking a week and a half at MicroConf in Las Vegas, and then I'm speaking at Amazon's Web Dev Con in a couple weeks after that, and then I'm speaking at PyCon Sweden, and then I'm speaking at Write the Docs in Portland, and then I'm speaking at PyCon US in Portland, and that is through the end of May and maybe more this summer. So,
everywhere.
End of May. Wow. my May is I'm pretty much not going to be home.
Crazy.
Sorry, cat and husband, leaving them alone together.
Poor Wesley.
Yeah. He's actually, okay, back to the cat. He's basically a dog. He's incredibly needy. He's not a cat that's like aloof and doesn't like people. No, he loves people. So it's actually kind of sad to leave him for a full month because I get back and he's like, where were you?
Yeah, most cats don't care. They don't know you.
Yeah, he will, I come home, he runs down the stairs to greet me and he's really excited to see me. And it doesn't have anything to do with food.
Yeah. Those cats just yell at you like, I haven't eaten.
Wow.
He's on an automatic feeder. That's the only way I could deal with having a cat.
I did that.
He does not associate with me with food, which has made my life a lot easier.
Spectacular.
Cool. Oh, that's cool.
Well, we should wrap up.
thank you so much for coming out.
And I have so much more to say. This is really fun.
Thank you so much. I'm going to read this.
Yeah.
And I look forward to your next book too.
Yeah. I haven't even started working on it, but I've been giving talks. I gave, that was one of my talks at Fluent, and I got really good feedback. I got 4.5 out of 5 in terms of my score.
Nice.
Whatever that means.
Whatever that means.
Yeah. It was pretty high compared to everyone else. So, you know, maybe this fall I'll start officially working on it.
Awesome.
I'm running a Kickstarter. Speaking. Yeah. Kickstarters. Kickstarters are awesome.
Cool. We should do it. We're doing one for this podcast.
That's what I hear these days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have so much to say about Kickstarter. But okay. We don't have enough time here.
We're going to have to bring you back then for another episode.
Thank you.
Thank you, Tracy.
Thank you.
It's been a pleasure having you. Once again, if you want to buy Tracy's books, hellowebapp.com. That's so reasonable. It's only $19.95 for this.
Yeah, it's pretty damn good.
And I'm going to learn how to program?
Yeah.
And it's on Amazon, but you buy it from my website, so Amazon doesn't take 55%.
Yeah, yeah. Don't get it from Amazon, even though you're speaking at Amazon.
I know. Shh.
Okay. All right. Goodbye, everybody. Bye. We will be back soon. Seven, you should make it sound like there's always like we have a studio audience.
Always. A laugh track.
Yeah, with a laugh track. Yeah. A laugh track. I did a talk once where I included a laugh track, and it freaked everybody out. It was in San Diego. I included a laugh track in the talk.
You shouldn't have told me that.
Oh, no.
You shouldn't have told me that.
It was so great. I was so excited to go up and do that.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Yeah.
Goodbye, everybody.
That was really fun. Thank you.
I have very strong feelings about teal.